Tonight, and go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 this evening, we're just going to look at one verse to start with, and that is Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 8. And Jesus says in verse number 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Father, we do pray that you would give us ears to hear tonight. Pray, Father, you'd speak to our hearts and we would respond, Lord, to your leading in our life. Father, we do thank you for the morning. We do thank you, Father, for the Sunday school hour, the morning service, being able, Lord, just to partake in the Lord's table. And Lord, just be a part of what it means. And Father, it's the fact that one day we will not have to continue to commemorate the Lord's table, to remember his death, because we will be with you for eternity. And Father, we look forward to that day. And Father, thank you for the privilege that we have, Lord, to be reminded of just your sacrifice, your love, and your grace. And even tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would guide us by your grace, drawing us unto you, opening up our understanding, helping us, Lord, to see what we need to see through the scriptures. And Father, just as Elisha prayed and asked you to open the eyes of his servant so that he could see that there was more with him and Elisha than with the enemy, Father, help us to always be able to see that we are on the winning side, that you are greater than any challenge we may face in life, though it may seem like a giant, it may seem like an immovable mountain, yet even Jesus said if we had just a little bit of faith and said unto this mountain, be ye cast into the sea, it would be, because Lord, it's you that does the work. And Father, we by faith believe that you can, Lord, do anything in our life. But Father, as we even talk tonight about just having a clear vision, we ask, Lord, that you would open up our understanding, Lord, open up our heart, helping us to receive the truth of your word and to put our faith in the trustworthiness of your word, your ability, and who you are. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We want to continue being able to see God working in our life. No matter what's going on, no matter what we're doing, we want to continue to be able to see God moving in our life, doing things in our life. We don't want to be distracted by the cares of the world. We don't want to become blinded by situations in our life. We always want to be able to see God, even though we may not know what he's doing, yet by faith we know that he is working, because he is working on the behalf of his sons and his daughters. Again, this morning we looked at just the importance and the purpose of the Lord's table. In Sunday school, we looked at when we all get to heaven that we have something to look forward to. But we don't want to ever lose sight on this side of heaven. We always want to be able to see by faith that the Lord truly is on our side. He truly is guiding our steps, because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And as Jesus starts the Sermon on the Mount, which is called, we call it the Beatitudes, he goes through, starting at verse number 3, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And in the midst of all that, in the midst of him saying, "Blessed are," then he says something else after each one of them. And in verse number 12, it says, "Rejoice." Rejoice. You could just preach a sermon just on rejoicing, that we should always be rejoicing, because you know what? We're not blinded anymore. We're not on the losing side, we're on the winning side, because Jesus Christ has gotten the victory for us. But as we think about just keeping our eyesight clear and pure, there are some things that we need to understand tonight. Number one, what is the heart? We understand when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about your physical organ. It's talking about the seat of your emotions, your intellect, your will, your heart. Because often the Lord would rebuke the Pharisees and rebuke those about having a wicked heart. And the Lord does not want us to be deceived by our heart. He doesn't want us to be led by our emotions. He doesn't want us to count on our own knowledge or our own ability. He doesn't want us to live life according to our will. He wants us to be able to see Him, and we have to be able to see Him clearly when our heart is fixed upon Him. Now, throughout our lifetime and even throughout this year, we're going to have our hearts revived continually. It's a continual process because, again, we get distracted. Other things seemingly take precedence in our life and we lose focus. But we don't want to lose focus. We want our hearts to stay fixed on the Lord. We want to be able to see by faith that God truly is working. We want to continue to trust Him in all His ways. We want to follow His word, and we want to be obedient to Christ, who said that we are to keep His commandments, because His commandments are the way of life. His commandments bring blessings upon those that will obey. But how do you have this revived heart? Well, it starts by us always reminding ourselves that our heart cannot be trusted. Many people follow their heart. They want to find their heart. They let their emotions guide them. They let their own knowledge decide what they should and shouldn't do, and they allow their will to be what guides them, what they want to do. But God wants us to have a revived heart, that we fully trust Him, not our emotions, not what we think, but what is God's will. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Again, to have a revived heart is truly to have a heart that fully trusts the Lord. Fully trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Again, it's not what we think. It's not how we feel. There's many days where, you know, you may not feel like you're saved for one reason or another. But you are saved because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, there's days where people feel like God doesn't love them because of whatever is going on in their life. And God's already manifested His love. God doesn't want us to be guided by our emotions. Because there's been plenty of times in my life that I was so mad at work. Not the work I'm at now, but just in general, just over a lifetime, mad at bosses and mad at this. And, well, I just don't feel like working here no more. But you can't make decisions based on how you feel. Because if we always make decisions based on how we feel, we're going to make the wrong decision every time. We want God to guide our hearts, and we want to fully trust the Lord with all of our heart, no reservations whatsoever. Jesus said in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." As He speaks these words to His disciples, He knows that their hearts are being troubled because He keeps telling them that He's going to die. He keeps telling them that He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be handed over into the hands of sinful men. They're going to crucify Him, but He keeps telling them, "But I'll rise again after 3 days." But they know the time is short. As the Lord keeps talking to them, their hearts being filled with grief, and they're being troubled about the things that they don't understand. And yet the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled." He doesn't want a heart to be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The Lord would even say to those that would question who Jesus is, not audibly, but in their minds and hearts, the Lord would say to them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts?" Again, the heart is deceitful. And we've got to always remind ourselves that we are not to follow our heart. We are to allow the Lord to have our heart. The Lord will make sure that we have the right feelings, those feelings of trusting Him and following Him. We have to be like Daniel, when Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. Now, he could have went along with the crowd. That's the easiest thing to do. It's just kind of blend in and just fit in so that you don't look like the odd duck. You're not the odd one that everyone kind of looks at you and why aren't you going along with the crowd? But Daniel purposed in his heart he wasn't going to go along with the crowd. He wasn't going to defile himself. He was not going to turn his back on God. He wanted God to have all of his heart, and Daniel gave all of his heart to the Lord, trusting him. And didn't it work out for him? It sure did. God gave him favor in the eyes of the man that was given charge over these captives and over Daniel and over Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the others. We're often tempted to follow our hearts. We're often tempted to follow our emotions and what we think is right and what I want to do. But the Lord says don't do that. We want a heart that fully trusts him, and we want a heart that will fully follow him. In Jeremiah 32, 39, Jeremiah said, the Lord said, I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. God says, I'll give them one heart and one way. There's one way to follow the Lord, and that is fully trusting him, letting him have your heart, asking the Lord to change your heart, asking the Lord to search your heart. David said in Psalm 57, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Our hearts do need to be fixed in this new year. Fixed in trusting the Lord, following the Lord, and letting God do what he wants to do in our life. Making decisions based on truly what God has revealed to us, what God's will is for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He's letting Timothy know, don't just run with anybody. Don't run with the crowd. Walk with those that are following the Lord out of a pure heart. Again, our hearts are, not only can they our hearts deceive us, but our hearts can be deceived by others. And when I think about what Paul is telling Timothy, God wants us to be surrounded by like-minded Christians. God wants us to be influenced not by the world, but by like-minded Christians who have a pure heart for the Lord, who will encourage us in the ways of the Lord, that even good friends that will be honest and say, there's something not right in your life. Someone who will be honest, and we'll be honest with them. But again, when I think about what David said, my heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. Just as Daniel purposed in his heart he was not going to defile himself, and he never did. Yet time and time again, the enemy would try to overtake Daniel. And David fixed his heart upon the Lord. And we need to fix our heart upon the Lord. Because I don't know about you, but I want to see God in this new year. I want to see him working in my life. I want to see him guiding me. I want to see him fulfilling his will, but I want to be found faithfully following him, faithfully trusting him. And it takes a revived heart. The Lord knows that our heart can become corrupted, it can become doubtful towards the things of God. And we want God to develop that revived heart in us. And there's a few ways that we can develop that revived heart in us. And that is, again, like I've already said, understand your heart is deceitful. Don't follow your feelings. Don't follow what you think, but seek after God with all of your heart. Because he said again in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? In James chapter 1, he reminds us, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. First thing he says, if someone says that they're religious but they can't bridle their tongue, then their religion is vain. They're deceiving their own heart. And we need to put our heart on trial before the Lord. Lord, as David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Again, like I was saying this morning, we want not to go through the motions of church and not just partake in the Lord's table and it not do something to our heart. We want to be drawn to the Lord. We want God to do something in our life. I mean, it's not about just going to church. It's about, I get to go to church. I get to be with God's people. I get to hear from God among the body of Christ. And I want to see God do great and mighty things in my life this year. I want to draw closer to the Lord. I don't want anything between me and the Lord. Nothing ever happens overnight in your life, in my life. It's all a step. One step after another. Little things here, little things there, and before we know it, sin has taken over. Our mind never thinks about the Lord. Our heart is never convicted about the Scriptures. We've quenched the Holy Spirit. We've grieved the Holy Spirit. Somebody might be thinking, I never see God working in my life. I never have any of my prayers answered. And God calls us to lay open our heart before him and say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. As Proverbs 21 reminds us, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. The Lord already knows what's in our heart. He already knows what's guiding us. And if it's not him, he'll reveal it. He wants to reveal it. He wants us to follow him and to trust him with all of our heart. He wants us to have a desire to have a heart that is changed, a heart that is led by him. There's no doubt that you love the Lord. There's no doubt I love the Lord. But so did Peter, and Peter still turned his back on Christ after he said he wouldn't. There's just things that, again, happen in our life that we say that we wouldn't do that we end up doing. Peter didn't take the warning seriously from the Lord when the Lord said, the devil desires to sift you like wheat. He honestly kind of brushed it off and said, I will never deny you, though the rest of them will. He allowed his heart to deceive him. Yes, he had a love for the Lord, but he didn't take the warning of the Lord seriously. In Jeremiah 24, verse 7, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. God truly does want to change our heart. He truly wants us to have a desire that we want God to guide our hearts. We want our hearts, we want the desires of our hearts to be God's desires. And God says in his word that he'll give us the desires of our heart, but they're not fleshly desires. It's not carnal desires that he wants to give, it's the spiritual desires. Because as our heart is changed by the Lord and our heart is filled with love and gratitude and faithfulness towards the Lord will give us the desires of our heart, wanting to get closer to the Lord, wanting the Lord to change us, wanting the Lord to give us victory in our life over sin, over the weights, over the bad habits that we're constantly fighting against. God gave Daniel the desire of his heart. His heart wanted to please God even in a foreign land as a captive. He didn't want to go along with the group. Even though he was not in Israel. He wasn't in his homeland. He's in Babylon. He's in a foreign country. Yet, even there, he knew that God could see him. And he wanted to please God. It's easy to come to church and to pretend like we're good Christians. But how are we on the other side of those doors? How are we inside of our homes? How are we at our workplace? How are we among friends? Our closest friends should not be lost people. We're to be light to them. We're to be a testimony to them, but we're not to be getting counsel from lost people. We need to have a heart that truly desires the ways of God and truly wants God to be magnified in our life. And God's the only one that can change our heart. And he wants to do that so we can see him more clearly working in our life. But you know, once we do open our heart to the Lord and we ask the Lord to reveal any way in our life that's not right, and once he reveals it, and once we ask him to forgive us and to cleanse us and to change our heart, it's up to us to guard our heart. Just as we guard, as a parent, we guard our children from potential dangers as best that we can. Spiritually, we have to guard our heart from the influences of this world, the influences of music, television, movies, social media. In those things, there are some good things. Social media, to be able to keep up with family that may not be close by. But the devil's always looking for an open door to get into somebody's life, to draw them away from the Lord, to bring up false doctrine, to cause a Christian to start doubting the faithfulness and trustworthiness of the Lord. The devil wants what belongs to the Lord, and that is yours and my heart. He said, I will be like the Most High. He wants to have your heart. He wants to have your affection. He wants to have your faithfulness and your devotedness that belongs to God, because God's the one that has redeemed us. God is the one that has bought us back with his precious blood, and we have to guard our heart. We cannot think that evil communications will not corrupt our good manners. Whatever is contrary to the Lord, it will defile you and me. And that is why Daniel purposed in his heart not to be defiled with the things of that foreign land. Again, guarding your heart, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 reminds us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We are to guard our heart. We are to guard what comes into our life. We are to allow our hearts only to be devoted to the Lord and nothing else to affect our heart but the pure word of Jesus Christ, the pure word of God. The last thing I want you to think about, though, is the result of a revived heart. What is the result? Jesus said it. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A Christian who constantly feasts on pornography, on the wickedness that's on the internet, will not see God, will not hear the voice of God, will not feel the presence of God. One thing does not outweigh the other. Going to church, reading our Bibles does not outweigh the sin we're purposely living in. But when we, out of a pure heart, seek God and seek for God to change our heart and to cleanse our heart and to lead us in the right way, we will see God. Jesus promised, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We shall see him in salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reminds us, in whom the God of this world, little g God, speaking of the devil, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You realize that the devil can still blind Christians if they allow him to? Again, he can't take your salvation away, but he sure can cause us to become blinded to the things of God because we're giving more place to the carnal things instead of the eternal things. We're doing what feels good instead of what pleases God. In verse 6 of this same chapter, it says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God's desire is for Christ to shine through our life. He wants our hearts to be revived so we can clearly see. Again, like I was even mentioned in my prayer at the beginning, the city that Elisha is in is surrounded by the enemies that want to take Elisha because Elisha keeps informing the king of Israel, the Syrian king's intentions, and he sends an army to take him. The servant is the one that is the first to see the encampment, the siege around the city. He's afraid. He runs back into the dwelling place where Elisha is and says, "Alas, my master." And Elisha goes out. Okay, he views it, but he's not worried one bit. Now, the Bible doesn't record every detail that went on in those minutes that Elisha comes out and sees it, and the servant is frantic. I mean, he thinks, you know what, they're doomed. But I can almost see the servant just fear-stricken. He's panicking. And Elisha's just, you know, calm, peaceful. And says, "Lord, open his eyes so he can see there are more with us than with them." And the Lord opens his eyes so he can see the angels that are encamped in the mountains surrounding the enemy host. Nothing to fear. Keeping the enemy from their agenda, from what they want to do. Because God is on Elisha's side, just like God is on your side and my side. God also wants us to see him in our prayers, whether they're answered right away or not, but we see God in our prayer life. We are in our mind and in our hearts, we know that we're coming before God and we are giving our petitions to the Lord, and we are crying out to the Lord and casting our care upon him and just spending time with him and in our hearts and minds actually seeing it. Look at 1 John chapter 5, if you would. I am thankful tonight that we didn't have to come in here and light a bunch of candles and pray. I'm thankful we don't have statues in here that we pray to. We have a cross up on the wall because it reminds us the Lord is not hanging on that cross. He died on that cross. He shed his blood on that cross. But that empty cross reminds us there's an empty tomb as well. The cross was the place of payment. The empty tomb was the place of victory for us, giving us life as the Lord took the keys of death and hell from the devil, as the Bible tells us. But seeing the Lord in our answered prayers. In 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." The confidence. There should be no doubt in our heart when we go to the Lord in prayer. We should be past that point. As I even mentioned, I usually mention him quite often, but even this morning I mentioned the Father who said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." We should be past that point in our life that we believe. We know the Lord can and the Lord will accomplish his will, and I just fully trust the Lord will do what needs to be done. And I fully trust that he wants to hear my prayers. He cares about my prayers. And I'm confident that he will answer my prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How do I know that God will hear me and answer my prayer? If my desire is for him to be glorified, more than me getting the answer to my prayer. He'll answer my prayer, but he wants us to desire him to be glorified in whatever it is we're praying for. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the Lord talks about the Father, glorify yourself. And the Lord glorified, that was the Lord's will for Jesus to die for the sins of the world and for him to be glorified. Our hearts are right with God when our desires for him to be glorified in whatever it is we're praying for. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God still wants to hear our prayers. He still wants us to cast our cares upon him. Whatever your petition is, whatever you want the Lord to do, but let the number one desire be for God to be glorified in that situation, in the answer to that prayer. And lastly, God wants us to see him through the scriptures. God wants us to continue to read the scriptures that he's given us and to see clearly. There's been times in my life where I've read just to read because I know I'm supposed to read. But my mind was wandering everywhere else, and I couldn't even tell you what I had read. I read it, but my heart and mind was somewhere else. God desires for us, when we open his word, that he has our full attention, that we actually are drawn into the scriptures, that we can't seem to pull ourselves away from it because we're so enthralled with it, we're so drawn to it, we're just soaking it up. And we just can envision as whatever we're reading something in the scriptures, especially in the gospels, you're reading one person after another being healed of their infirmity, being raised from the dead, being revived, that you see God doing something in your life. You see God reviving something in your life. That even while you're reading the scriptures, you're praying. I don't know if you've ever been reading and what you came across, you stopped and you prayed and said, Lord, I want that in my life. I want what you're revealing in my life right here. Lord, I want you to be glorified, magnified in my life. I want to see this in my life. Jesus told those that were listening to him, more so, he was talking to the Pharisees when he said this, because they doubted who he was. They even said, you know, search the scriptures. I mean, there, no prophet comes out of Nazareth. But Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Again, I'm not saying that you don't love reading your Bible, you don't see the Lord in it. I'm just reminding us and helping us to even have a stronger desire that we want more of the Lord. I want my heart purified more so I hear his voice more clearly. I see spiritually more clearly. I'm led by the Holy Spirit without any reservation that God truly is doing his will in our lives and through our lives. And it does take our hearts to be revived, because we have to be honest that sometimes our hearts become a little lukewarm because of just life, because of things that we don't think are wrong, but it's kind of taken precedence in our life. It's becoming preeminent. It's taking over our thoughts. It's taking over our decision making. And again, the Lord wants to be number one. He wants to be preeminent in our life. He wants us to always have him at the forefront of our minds. Let him be the one that we look to glorify in our life. Warren Wiersbe said this one time. He said, "The highest joy of man comes from cultivating the deepest part of man, the heart. The heart, or when the heart is pure, the vision is clear." Again, God does want to reveal more and more to us. That's the beautiful thing about our relationship with the Lord. Relationships are always moving. Should always be moving forward. Relationships are always moving. I'm always getting to know my wife even more. Her likes and dislikes change over the years. Mine have changed over the years. And we're just constantly just learning new stuff, enjoying life together. And that's what the Lord wants with you and his relationship with you. That it never grows old. It never becomes stagnant or stale. It's just revived all the time. It's just something new all the time. I mean, the Lord doesn't change, right? It's not the Lord becoming stale. It's just we become stale at different times. And yet the Lord's given us of his Holy Spirit to help revive the heart, to help give us a clearer vision, to help us to desire the things of God more and to see that, you know what, God's way is always the best way. And I'm just going to challenge all of us, those in this room, those that are listening, live stream, whatever. Let this year be the year that you decrease the internet time. You decrease the social media time. Not talking about keeping up with family, all the extra stuff that we find ourselves getting involved in and watching and it taking up all of our time and just changing our thinking. This should be the year, especially us knowing that the Lord's return is drawing closer and closer and closer. We should, as God's people, seek the Lord more. Ask the Lord to work in our heart more. And right now, if you have a feeling of, whatever, then I would ask you to ask God to change your heart. I'm not saying anybody in here is like that. I'm just saying that if there is somebody that kind of has that attitude, wherever they may be, that you would ask the Lord, change my heart. Help me, Lord, to have a pure heart so I can see you clearly and I can be used of you more in somebody's life.